And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this cold Monday morning. But what a sweet morning it is for the Tennessee Titans and their fans. They get it done yesterday, 41-38 against the Houston Texans. Win the AFC South for the first time since 2008. And we'll be taking your reaction to that all show long here on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Fellas, man, was that fun yesterday. Joe Rex Road, how we doing?
Was it just fun? That's, you know, I got the text from, what was it, like the heart's still beating like hours later? Like that was fun. Also, man, nerve-wracking, right? And Derrick Henry gets 250, needed 249 and a half, and who knows what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Needed every single yard.
No, he did. It was incredible. Awesome. Porth, are you okay today?
No, I'm not. I think I had a heart attack while the game was happening. I had a heart attack while the defense was blowing it. I had a heart attack when the ball hit the upright off Sam Sloman's foot. And I probably had a heart attack overnight in my sleep. So the blood pressure has not
been
good. Hopefully
they cancel each other out.
Yeah, I hope so, because the blood pressure has not been good in the last 12 hours.
I got to tell you, watching Sam Sloman kick that ball in to win the game for the Titans was maybe my favorite play in the history of the franchise. If people are not printing off like a Sam Sloman t-shirt today, just based on the way that guy kicked that ball, his reaction when it was going off the upright and then him just running down the field after, it was one of the funniest slash greatest things I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing.
The Derrick Henry also reaction was great. Yes. You know, you got that was an easy lip read right there. And, man, well, I agree. I mean, the Sloman t-shirts should be flying around. Sloman coffee mugs, you know, bumper stickers and all this stuff. But then, you know, then you get the guy in the press conference. He's like, bruh. You know, I mean, it was just amazing. Like, who is this 17-year-old? You know, I mean, that was some good stuff.
It reminded me, so it's obviously a different situation because Gary Anderson was approximately 65 years old when he made the kick for the Titans against the Ravens in the playoffs. And, you know, it's a different situation. Obviously, this is not a playoff game. But, man, it reminded me of that, of just the walk-off from Gary Anderson. Sloman comes in there. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff.
This one was more dramatic, though.
It was.
Because there was, I feel like all of Titans Nation froze in time between the point in which the ball hit the upright and the officials put their arms up that it was good. I mean, holy smokes. If that did not go in,
you couldn't tell right away.
It was not easy to tell.
I thought at first it might have been short. Yeah, like it was just hard to tell for sure. You know, if you're watching it live, I mean, it fell and it's like, I think it went behind it, but I don't know. And they sort of paused for a moment. A lot of nice drama there.
Yeah, nice little pause by the officials. The head nod. It was like, oh yeah, it was in. I saw it, and then it's good. But man, Sam Sloman coming in clutch.
New Titans hero.
Good call, Porth. You called the call your shot Friday. He'd have a better kicking percentage than Gostkowski.
He would end the regular season in a Titans uniform with a higher field goal percentage than Steven Gostkowski. Nailed it.
Nice call.
There you go. There were actually a lot of called shots that were nailed.
Oh, yeah.
But mine of an overtime win was foiled by, you know, all Vrabel had to do was hand off once, take overtime, and he was like, hey, let's throw one up to AJ. It worked out pretty well for him.
It did work out pretty well. And we've been talking about the Sloman kick at the end of the game, the dramatic event yesterday. Man, what a kick it was. Here was the audio from that clip yesterday of Sam Sloman kicking the game winner for the Titans and propelling them to a division title for the first time since 2008.
Titans looking for their first AFC South title since 2008 for the chance to host next week. Hit the upright and bounce through.
Oh, you can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Oh, what a kick. Sam Sloman comes through in the clutch. What a game yesterday. And, you know, speaking of called shots, Joe Rex Road said Derrick Henry would get it done. that he would get to 2,000. 223 was a big number. And like you said, Joe Rexrode, they needed every bit of the 250 he put up yesterday. But 34 carries, 250 yards, becomes the second player in franchise history to surpass the 2,000-yard mark, the eighth player overall in the history of the NFL. Derrick Henry, once again yesterday, was an absolute monster and basically just cemented what has been an unbelievable season for him at the running back position.
I mean, just incredible, you know. And you're talking about not too far from the all-time record, and we've talked about it a lot. You know, he's probably – compared to some of those guys now, there's seven other guys. He's one of the eight, you know, he's the eighth guy to get 2,000. Frankly, at a time when, man, I don't know how many more 2,000-yard backs we're going to see in this league, but, you know, we've only seen eight now. But, you know, he's had some games where there are a lot of yards left on the field because of his defense. This was a game where, you know, it looked like the Titans were about to pull away and just sort of have an easier time and maybe not have to sweat it out in the fourth quarter. So here's an instance of that defense actually helping the bottom line for Henry, because he had to go the whole distance and they had to lean on him so heavily. But just an incredible season. Blows away the record, the NFL record for road yards. That was also Eric Dickerson, 84. Blows that away. He got that by more than 100 yards now.
Yeah.
He's also the first back since 67-68 to lead the league 2 years in a row in carries, yards, and rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's a long list for him. And again, like, this team so badly needed so many of those plays, especially yesterday. I mean, that, I think that's the drive of the year. 19 plays when they finally give up the lead and they, you know, come down the field with Tannehill and Henry kind of alternating and making big play after big play. I mean, those guys, you know, Henry's season, I think it is the best individual season in Titans history, but Tannehill's season is right there too.
Yeah, pretty good. And that's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What do you now consider as the greatest single-season performance in Titans history? Is it the McNair co-MVP year in 2003 with Peyton Manning, CJ2K's year in 2009, or Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 this year? And just given how dominant he's been this year, there are other options as well. If you want to throw them out there, Joe Rexrode threw out Ryan Tannehill. Maybe you've got a different way you want to take it, but the very, very, very early returns in this poll so far, Joe, 83% going with Derrick Henry. So I'm interested, as the show goes along, how many go with Henry, how many maybe get wrapped up in the heat of the moment with Henry hitting 2,000 yesterday. I'm interested to see where this poll goes, but I think Derrick Henry at this point probably would get my vote as well.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, you think about just the workload, the durability, the attention on him. I mean, you know, you could argue that I've heard people make the counterpoint, you know, defenses aren't built for this as much now. And I think that's fair, but you can still put hats in the box. You know, I mean, you can still move bodies around and you can go bigger still. I mean, it's not like everybody plays eight defensive backs on every play now in the NFL. I mean, it's a pass first league, but I mean, to me, you think about how workload is split up on almost every other team out there. Even with Alvin Kamara, for example, you know, I mean, Latavius Murray gets a lot of work. I mean, this is not how teams do it anymore, to give one guy this much work. And there's a reason for it, because of all the talk of diminishing returns and the short shelf life and all that. And this guy is just plowing through everyone right now and not giving a damn. And, it's something to behold. I don't know how long it's going to last, but this is a season that no matter how it ends here in the postseason, it will be remembered for what he did.
It will, and we talked about it last week, just kind of looking ahead to this game. If the Titans are able to pull it off, yes, they've had their struggles defensively all season long. Yes, defensively. Even though they were able to get to the quarterback a little bit yesterday, it was a struggle again on that side of the ball. And Deshaun Watson, we knew how dangerous he was. He put up a big numbers yesterday, 28 of 39. 365 yards, three touchdowns, and the one interception. But at the end of the day, you win the division. You get it done for the first time since 2008. And I know just talking to a couple Titans fans that are friends of mine that I have, just one of the most satisfying parts was after the game's over and you flip over to Football Night in America and you're about to get ready to watch Washington and Philadelphia play last night, and Mike Tirico was just kind of going through the play-by-play of the Titans-Texans game, and they would flash to show, I guess Indianapolis was showing the game at the stadium on their Jumbotron, and just the outright devastation when Sloman makes that field goal and Colts fans are just going in like the surrender cobra and all this other stuff. It was amazing to watch.
And you get Buffalo, Indy. Congratulations.
Exactly.
You guys,
hey, they were messing around.
You guys were talking about just the performance by Derrick Henry. They flashed this up during the broadcast yesterday. He went for 211 against the Texans in Week 17 last year. Went for 212 against the Texans in Week 6. 250 yesterday. And in doing so, Derrick Henry became the first player in the Super Bowl era with three games with 200-plus yards versus a single opponent. And that's overall, not including the last three times that he has faced the Texans. He has done that. Also, last night during Sunday Night Football, they flashed up a stat for Derrick Henry saying that he's the first player to lead the NFL in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns in consecutive seasons since 1967-68.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Like, the numbers that he's put up is just ridiculous. And, Joe, you talked about it. Like, I think we talked about this at one point, maybe week six, week seven of this season. Like, I hope Titans fans are just recognizing what they're seeing right now with Derrick Henry, because a run like this does not happen very often in the NFL. And for it to be happening here with this team, I just hope Titans fans are enjoying what they're seeing, because I don't know how long this is going to last with Derrick Henry, but I know this. I've never seen anything like this dude. I've never seen anything like the combination of size and speed and just the ability to just totally take over a game at the running back position. I hope Titans fans are enjoying this, because what we're watching is something really, really special, not only in Titans history, but I think in NFL history as well.
Totally agree. So we got a response to the poll question. At Go Big or Go Home 71. If this Titans team can win a Super Bowl, Henry's 2,000-yard season for sure, no doubt. Well, I mean, like the other ones, did they win Super Bowls in those years?
No.
I mean, I think, and I'm trying to remember. I mean, the 2000 for Johnson, that 2019, did they make the playoffs?
No.
They didn't make the playoffs. So that's the thing, too. I mean, look, great player also, and obviously so much fun to watch, and a guy who – around the league, you know, brought eyeballs to Nashville to watch. But, you know, when you are getting 2,000 in a season like that, a lot of it is right at the end. It's kind of like, let's get him 2,000. This was, let's somehow find a way to, one, get in the playoffs, which, of course, the Titans had that done before the end of the game. But also, you're trying to win a division. I mean, this is a genuine, probably more genuine than some of the other backs that got to 2,000, race to 2000, because it was needed. It wasn't just, you know, things geared to help him do it. It was like, you got to do it or for this team to win.
Exactly. And it was a thing of beauty to watch yesterday from Derrick Henry. We'll continue to discuss Derrick Henry and his performance yesterday and throughout the season all show long here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll break down the game a little bit more. Why did it take a Sam Sloman game-winning field goal to win this game against the 4-12 Houston Texans? We'll discuss that on the other side. Also, get your reaction as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and I got to tell you, the NFL's in its final leg of the season, and college basketball is now underway. The NBA's tipped off, lots of things happening in the world of sports, and you could add some excitement to your viewing experience by betting on all the action at FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one app. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, fun bet types like the same game parlay, and exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events, and bet insurance to let you get more out of the action. I got to tell you, one of the best parts about FanDuel Sportsbook is its easy withdrawal method. They get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. That's been great to use for my part of it. Used it once again yesterday after the action in the NFL. So right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. And if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and get started. Be sure to sign up for promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Mike, just how you drew it up there to end up with a finish like that to win the division title for the first time in 12 years?
You know, just really proud of our guys, the way they fight, and, you know, a lot of credit to the Texans. You know, at the end of the day, we had some timeouts and felt like, you know, left told Ryan, hey, at the end of the day, just maybe launch one up to AJ. And got a favorable look, and that's what happens, man. Guys go out and make plays in this league, and that's why you win.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday. A 41-38 win for the Titans. They win the division for the first time since 2008 and will host a home playoff game coming up on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll have plenty of time both in the show today and throughout the week to talk about that matchup. And man, what a game yesterday. Sam Sloman gets it done. He doinks it in there. Josh on Twitter says, That game yesterday summed up Nashville sports. Super pumped for the win, but my goodness, that was anxiety we did not need on a Sunday evening. I know a lot of Titans fans felt very similar, Joe Rexroad, to Josh in the way that he felt watching Sloman's field goal go off the upright and through, I guess, the goal yesterday. How would you call that? Through the uprights.
Yeah, well, you know what? If that sums up Nashville, you get some anxiety, we get the W. You know, you'll take
that.
Other cities right now that would gladly take that. But, yeah, it's that game definitely for a while looked like it was not going to be dramatic. And that's the thing. It's not like it was touchdown, 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 back and forth the whole time. You know, the Titans had distance and gave it up. So I think that even adds to the anxiety when one team has all that momentum, when one team scores 20 straight points and you still end up winning that game.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought yesterday, Joe, like in the first half, I thought the defense got off to a pretty good start. They were getting to the quarterback, putting pressure on Deshaun Watson, had the interception by Monty Hooker. I mean, things looked like they were going in a good direction for the Titans defensively. You knew you were kind of playing with fire the longer you let them kind of hang around and Deshaun Watson to get going in that game. And ultimately he did. We read off the stats earlier. And, you know, Brandon Cooks had a great game as well, 11 catches, 166 yards, and two touchdowns. They targeted Brandon Cooks 16 times in that game yesterday. It was very obvious where he was going with the ball.
Yeah, and he was on, you know, against a variety of looks, against a variety of defenders. Didn't matter. Cooks was fantastic. It's also like another – I mean, this is another game where, you know, you talk about other cities and the sports and how they're feeling. I mean – if you're in Houston right now, again, you're sitting there watching that game and saying, my goodness, can we get this guy some help?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is so great, and can we give him a little help here? But, yeah, 11 for 166 for Cooks. You know, I mean, he used his tight ends a lot yesterday too. You know, I mean he's in the past had really good receiving corps and depth. And even this year, earlier in the year when they first met them, it was a different-looking receiving corps. Will Fuller out there. And so now he goes to his tight ends. You know, whatever it takes, the guy makes plays.
He does, and he made a lot of plays yesterday, especially in the second half. After, like I said, I thought the Titans got off to a good start defensively. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texts in and says, the defense looked much better in the first half. The right coverage, interceptions, and multiple sacks. Christian Fulton in over Desmond King in obvious passing situations is noticeable also. Defense moving in the right direction. Joe, what do you think of that? What did you make of Christian Fulton, his playing time yesterday, and the way the defense played? Getting after the quarterback a little bit yesterday as well. Is there any encouragement you take away from that?
Well, I mean, look, you talk about four sacks. you know, I mean, that's big time stuff. So they go from 15 to 19, yeah, which I believe ties them then. They do not stand alone as the worst sack total for a playoff team. On the Fulton thing, I did notice Fulton out there. He got 16 snaps. You know, Desmond King still got 41. So I don't know that that's – they were on the field, I believe, together some.
Yep.
So that wasn't like some swap out where all of a sudden Fulton leapfrogged Desmond King. But you know, 41 for him. And you know, Adoree, basically the rest of the secondary played the whole game, you know, and those two guys. But it is good to weave in Christian Fulton. Look, you know, it's like obviously the Texans get cooking and you know, you let them score on 8 straight possessions, but you got some red zone stops. You know, a lot of those were field goals. And even at the end, so you've got, I mean, first of all, it looked like Jeffrey Simmons might get Deshaun Watson in that first play of the drive. Yeah. He gets away, and they get a huge play out of it. I thought a huge play when I was like, you know what, Texas might score a touchdown here. Titans are in a zone look, and Adoree does not get the depth that you need to get, and they get the big play down to the 33. But from there, you know, they forced 3 straight incompletions. They got pressure. They sent extra people. I mean, the Titans, I don't know what the number is yesterday, but they blitzed a lot. I would have to guess that was one of the highest pressure games of the season for the Titans. But they got the 3 incompletions there to force, you know, a long field goal. And Fairbairn made it, but, I mean, that was a win, too, for the defense. So, I don't know. Is there – I mean, I still think the secondary, you know, is pretty good as constructed. They got some pressure going. Is it sustainable? I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to outscore people, but at least they're counterpunching some on defense yesterday. And again, we're talking about a game in which they gave up 38 points. They also, by the way, did set the record. It is over. The yes. Titans are standalone, and they're actually the only team over 50% too. No team had ever allowed 50% plus on third down conversions. The Titans are number 1 or number 32, however you want to look at it. 51.9% is where they end up there. Although, actually, the numbers yesterday were better than that. Now, they actually got some stops on third down, and I'm looking for it right now. I mean, it wasn't anything. It was 5 for 12, 42% for the Texans. So, you know, there's something you can take forward, I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to find some sunshine.
Trying to find some sunshine on that side of the ball. And like you said, 4 sacks. I mean, that is a banner day for the Titans in terms of getting after the quarterback. And I did think Watson was guilty at times of holding on to the ball too much, maybe trying to look downfield a little too often. But look, I mean, you watch Deshaun Watson play. I mean, you pretty much, if you're a coaching staff, you got to live with whatever that guy does, because he was unbelievable. 9.4 yards an attempt yesterday against the Titans defense. But offensively, like you said, I mean, they made plays when they need to make it. And we talked about it last week, a bad showing against Green Bay. You had faith that this Titans offense would respond, and in key moments yesterday, they did. And it wasn't perfect. I mean, I think back to the 4th and 11, the decision to go for it there. Obviously, it ends up in disaster on that play, and you're thinking to yourself, man, they could be in serious trouble right now. But the offense, when you had to have plays yesterday, they came up and they made them, whether it was Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown with some huge catches in the game yesterday, even though it's still obvious that he is out there just gutting through an injury. He was massive yesterday. Just this offense continues to make clutch plays at the right times.
Yeah, I mean, multiple. Again, on that drive, 19 plays, 75 yards, but they had to gain 89 yards on that drive because of penalties. A.J. Brown, multiple big catches. You know, Corey Davis had a tough day yesterday, and if he just has, I think he had 3-4 drops in that game, and if he has a couple fewer, he gets to 1,000. But that 3rd and 8, Tannehill, again, one of those real tight window throws that he snapped it off, and it was not an easy catch, and it was a big-time catch for Corey Davis to extend that drive. So that was another big clutch moment, along with Tannehill running the ball too. I mean, at some point, maybe a defense will figure that out, but if I were the Titans, I'd go to that 3, 4, 5 times a game until they do. Because it's not just like, I mean, he's getting like a half the field to himself at times here on these, these run fakes to Henry and keeping it. And that was big yesterday.
Oh, it was huge, and I mean, I get it. And if you're a defense, it puts you in such a tough spot when you've got Derrick Henry doing whatever he wants to on the ground, and then they fake it, and Tannehill just takes off. But you're right, Joe. Like, at some point, if you're the other team, you have to account for Tannehill in the running game as well. It's a tough spot to be in. I get it. And maybe if you start accounting for Tannehill, they'll just give it to Henry and let him kill you that way. But that has become one of the most unstoppable plays in Arthur Smith's arsenal, is just letting Tannehill fake it to Henry and take off by himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's so he gets two touchdowns. He gets another, 38 on the ground. So here's a stat on that, and I know we're going to talk a lot more about Tannehill later, but we talk about great seasons. So Tannehill is one of five quarterbacks in NFL history now, 3,800 yards, 33 touchdown passes, 7 rushing in one season. You got Steve Young, you got Cam Newton, you got Dante Culpepper, and now Tannehill and Josh Allen this year doing that. So, and of course, people don't think of him that way, but I mean, look, anybody, as bad as the Titans were last week, I mean, at least people saw the guy outrun the whole Packers defense on a particular play. I mean, he's a weapon. So, yeah, look, just play after play by that offense when they had to have it. It's not easy to do. And you're missing Roger Saffold too, by the way. Roger Saffold was on that sideline for a lot of the second half. Aaron Brewer in his place. By the way, that holding call.
Atrocious.
On what should have been Derrick Henry's winning touchdown run. Unbelievable. I mean, just because he pancaked the guy, they're like, oh, that must have been a hold, I guess, right?
Absolutely atrocious. It was so bad. We'll continue to talk about Derrick Henry when we come back on the other side. I got a lot of your texts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Taking your reaction to the Titans winning the division for the first time since 2008 all show long. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now you know who your daddy is.
Henry found a little room, found a lot of room, and here he goes. 20, 10, touchdown, Tennessee. 52 yards.
You answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy?
Here comes Derrick Henry.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't get easier than that.
And whose team is this? Is this your team, or is this your daddy's team?
Yours.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the type of player he is, the impact that he has on this team, on the field and off it. I'm proud to coach him and this entire football team.
Go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man.
Derrick Henry was the man once again yesterday for the Titans yesterday in the 41-38 win against the Houston Texans. He finishes with 34 carries, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day, surpasses 2,000 yards. Joe mentioned it earlier in the show, 2,027 yards on the season, 378 attempts, 17 touchdowns on the ground. A monster day yesterday for Derrick Henry, a monster season for Derrick Henry. And Joe, it has us asking the question here today, was that the greatest single-season performance from a Titan in history? That's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What do you now consider as the greatest single season performance in Titans history? Is it Derrick Henry? Is it Chris Johnson in 2009? Is it Steve McNair in his co-MVP campaign in 2003 when he won the MVP award along with Peyton Manning of the Colts? So far, 122 votes in, 61% saying Derrick Henry's season this year is the greatest season in Titans history, 20% going with Steve McNair in 2003, 17% with CJ2K in 2009, and 2% going with others so far. So you could take that any way you want to go. Tannehill last year, Tannehill this year, Vince Young's magical rookie season, I guess. I mean, any way you want to take it. But right now, Derrick Henry leading the charge, Joe Rexroad, in terms of the greatest season in Titans history.
Since, as usual, defense gets disrespected, what about the freak as a rookie?
Yeah.
Is that overstating things?
I mean, no, they've had some
other,
good.
They've had some great defensive years, right? I mean, that changed that team, right?
That is, a lot of things happened that year, but that was maybe the biggest thing that took that team from 8-8 every year to 13-3 and then the Super Bowl was him, that pass rush that he brought, and that defense as a whole. Just pretty scary. But, yeah, it's a great point.
We had a write-in vote for Billy Volek for that half season where he filled in for an injured Steve McNair.
It was pretty good.
He threw for like 400 every game.
He did. He did.
I picked him up on my fantasy team. I remember that.
Billy Volek, baby.
Championship. By the way, it's a championship year. You guys know that, right? The Titans win the AFC South. And have I mentioned that I won the Titans Media League? All right, thank you. Just got to get that in today. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Very happy that you did that. But I start thinking back, like Chris Johnson, I mean, that season was still pretty incredible. I mean, over 2,000 yards rushing, single season yardage record for total yards that year on the ground. Obviously, McNair's MVP year. I think about this season from Derrick Henry, given the situation around him, not only with the defense that he had to play with, which I think was certainly worse than the other two defenses that are in this conversation, but also COVID and everything you've got to go through this year just to get on the field and to be able to play. I mean, you've got to factor that into the discussion as well. But Derrick Henry, just purely on the field, I do think this is the greatest season that we have ever seen from a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, again, you're talking about, you know, seven people have done this before, you know, for one thing. So seven people, I mean, it's a huge achievement to get 2,000 yards in the NFL. It's very difficult. Seven have done it before. Also, you know, you talk about even just leading the league, winning the rushing title back-to-back. That hasn't happened since 06 and 07 with Tomlinson, and everyone who has done that is in the Hall of Fame. And I just think, you know, this is something that I might do this week and go back on the other guys who had 2,000 yards. But as I recall, as I think about them, as I think about Jamal Lewis, even Barry Sanders, you know, that was a solid Lions defensive team, which is funny to say out loud. Dickerson, you know, I'll be willing to bet that this is the worst defense that has accompanied a season like that. Usually seasons like that, rushing, you know, teams that run it like that, usually like that helps the defense and they sort, again, complementary football. And you've at least got a decent defense to go with that, you know? And the fact that he didn't, again, yesterday and maybe even like in the Lions game, the fact that their defense kept the other team in the game gets him more opportunities. So you got to take that into account. But there's at least three games this year where he could have had big numbers and he couldn't because he was staying on the sideline because of his defense. I think it's the greatest season, but also, I mean, single game.
Yeah.
Again, 250 yards, and they needed every inch to win it. And, like, what is 250? You know, let's take that to, like, quarterback. What is 250 yards in quarterback equivalence?
Oh, man.
Like 450?
Yeah, I mean, 500?
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Obviously, it's 46 away from the record, single game record. I mean, guys, that's one thing. If they go to overtime, he might get that. You know? So, but it's just, and again, they all know he's getting the ball. And that drive, he had a couple runs, the 7-yard run on that drive where he's up the middle and he's just, I mean, he's got the whole team trying to tackle him and he's dragging guys. And it's that late in the game, a guy who's had that much work. Pretty amazing.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, after what Henry has done so far in his NFL career, can we say that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame? I tell you, I mean, I don't know if you can say that yet, but you have another year or two close to this one, and then you're able to follow it up with years not quite like this, but, you know, you're hovered around 1,400 yards, you know, 3-4 years down the road from now. I think you certainly have to start considering it at that point. Like, if you were to tell me right now Derrick Henry ends up in the Hall of Fame, I would not shake my head at that. But okay, yeah, I could see that definitely happening based on the way he's played the last 2 years, how his body doesn't seem to be breaking down at this point. I think it's early right now, but Derrick Henry, if he can keep this up for the next year or two, he's certainly going to put himself on track for the Hall of Fame.
You know, it's interesting. He is now 100th all-time, 100th all-time in rushing. So there's a lot of guys to pass. But like you said, I mean, you know, you look at this list and he could leapfrog into the 50s next year. But he's got 5,860 yards. Good reference point for the Hall of Fame discussion, of course, is Eddie George. Eddie George, yep. 10,441 yards. Not in the Hall of Fame. He's 28th all-time. That's still a long way to go for Henry to get there. You know, I look at him right now and it's like, yeah, he's absolutely on the trajectory to get to the Hall of Fame. But this is where he has to be different from running backs of today. The shelf life, it's been the shortest, you know, shelf life for a particular position in the NFL forever, but it's shorter now. And so, you know, how many seasons like this does he have ahead of him? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, if you're a Titans fan, if you're the Titans, you sure are glad that you got that deal done rather than have him play on the tag this year, yeah. Right? Because you know if you want him for three more years, you've got him for three more years. And I suspect that they're going to want him for three more years. And like you said, Robbie, I mean, if he's healthy, then, I mean, right there, you're probably getting to about 10,000 by the end of that. And that's being – you know, that's 1500 a year.
Right.
So durability and health is what it's all about. If that happens for him, then I think he will do it. I think he'll be able to have the numbers to do it. But another thing about this, I don't know. I can't prove this, but I think if there's a Super Bowl win in Eddie George's career, he has a better chance of being in. So that's another thing is the postseason for Derrick Henry. So far, he has been just like he was clutch yesterday. He has been super clutch in the postseason too. I mean, he was the star of three postseason wins already in his career. But what kind of team, what kind of success does he have moving forward in the postseason? That's going to be a big part of that story, too.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the Borough texts in, what do you guys think the chances are that Derrick Henry gets the MVP because he hit the 2,000-yard plateau? I still think it's going to be tough.
Seen some momentum for it, but he's not going to win it.
Yeah, like, look, I could certainly listen to an argument. I mean, 2,000 yards, like you said, Joe, I don't know how many more times we're going to see that in the NFL with a running back. Based on where the game is today and just how much of a quarterback-driven league it is, I think ultimately that's why he's not going to win this award. I think Aaron Rodgers is probably going to win the MVP, and he had 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. It's the first time in NFL history, the quarterbacks had more than 45 touchdown passes and 5 or fewer interceptions. So I'd say Rodgers is probably the leader in the clubhouse, but I can listen to arguments for Derrick Henry. 2,000 yards and what he's been able to do and just what he means to this team, he's got to be in the discussion.
Should an offensive player of the year be on the table too?
Yeah.
And I think that's how it's going to go. I think he's going to get that, which is great. It's too bad. Yeah. You get 2,000 yards, you don't win MVP. The last guy who did it, Adrian Peterson, did get MVP. But again, I mean, if you're a voter and you're like, okay, well, what else can I do to break this tie if it's that close? Well, they go back to the game they played when Rodgers carved up the Titans and they won going away. You know, Henry had a nice night, 98 yards, but I mean, that right there probably clinches it for you. So Rodgers is going to win the MVP. And so that's too bad. I think if the Titans were 13-3, you know?
Yeah.
And again, even if some of those lost yards were there on the table for him, maybe it'd be impossible not to vote for him. But it'll be interesting to me how the voting goes, you know, like how Mahomes and Henry fall in. I think it will – I'll be shocked if it's not Rodgers. I'll be very interested to see – how the voting goes other than that and where Henry and Mahomes end up.
Josh Allen, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, Josh Allen. I've seen some momentum for him, too.
I mean, on FanDuel last night, the odds for NFL MVP were heavily slanted for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think it was like minus 3,000. I mean, it's a runaway favorite at this point. But Josh Allen was second. He was ahead of Mahomes in the odds.
Interesting. And so Henry was fourth?
I'd have to go back and check. I don't think he was that high.
Yes, I don't know. I think that's a mistake too. But again, some people do look at this award like purely like, okay, who are the best quarterbacks? And that's that.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. That should not be the way that it is, but that's what today's NFL looks like. Like I said, I mean, I could certainly listen to a case for Derrick Henry being MVP. I ultimately don't think it's going to get done. I do think he's got a great chance at winning Offensive Player of the Year. Ryan Porth, update?
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers minus 3,000, Josh Allen plus 1,000, Patrick Mahomes plus 1,400, and then, yes, Derrick Henry plus 5,000.
Mm.
And then in fifth, Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh.
Plus 10,000.
How about that? Well, good for him.
Two in the top five, baby. How about it?
That's the kind of year they had, both of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, look, that offense is incredible. And Henry's going to get a lot of love today. We'll talk about Tannehill a little bit later in the show. But Derrick Henry, you can certainly make a case that he is the league MVP this year. Don't think he's going to win it. But after what he's been able to accomplish, the crazy part is, Joe, I think there was more left on the table for him to accomplish this year that may have been taken away from him. When we come back, we'll discuss that. How much did the Titans' defense potentially hurt Derrick Henry in breaking the all-time single-season rushing record? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Derrick, congratulations to you. Congratulations on the team. Just your emotions on a day when you guys win the AFC South and you go over 2K, I guess a pretty perfect formula for you.
I'm just happy to be a part of this team, be a part of this organization, be teammates with the guys on this team. And my brothers, great accomplishment, you know, for us collectively. And just glad that we was able to finish with a W, win the division, be able to keep playing. Got shaky at the end, but, you know, we all, you know, stuck together and was able to get it done.
That was Titans running back Derrick Henry after the game yesterday. A monster day for him on the ground. 34 carries, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. He surpasses the 2,000-yard mark, becomes the 8th player in NFL history to do so, finishes with 2,027 yards on the ground this season. And Joe, 78 yards away from Eric Dickerson's record of 2,105 on the ground. And I think back, and as incredible as Henry was this year, and as big of an accomplishment as it is to get 2,000 yards, and it's a huge accomplishment. We've talked about it already here today in the show. I look back at the season and I look back at the way some of these games went and ask myself, what could Derrick Henry have finished with if the defense had helped him out a few more times this year? Like, you think back to the Cincinnati game, I think he had 18 carries for 112 yards in that game, was running the ball really well on the ground. The Cleveland game that got out of hand so quickly in the first half, like, what could Derrick Henry have finished with had the defense had better efforts in some of these games? I think there's a great chance he could have obliterated Eric Dickerson's record if that was the case.
Yeah, well, and even the Green Bay game, yeah. I mean, he still gets 23 carries, but that was, you know, that was, if that's a close game all the way, if they're within a score, you know, they got back in there early in the third, but then it got back out of hand. The Pittsburgh game, for sure. That was a game where it took him a while. Pittsburgh, that was a classic game of a team, you know, really doing a good job against him. And again, that was a healthier Pittsburgh defense, very good Pittsburgh defense. But it was also a case of, oh, now they got a rhythm, and now they're a little bit tired, and now he's on a roll. And that's one I definitely point to. You know, 20 for 75, scores that touchdown. He make it 27-24 early in the fourth, and then never gets another carry. No, if they get it back at all, I mean, I think it was a 10-minute drive that ended up in a pick in the end zone for Roethlisberger, but still, like, killed the whole clock, so that you just have to pass to try to, you know, and then you missed a field goal to tie. So that's another one. Interesting, you know, and I didn't even realize this, but it's kind of a short field thing. Just like the Titans didn't have offensive stats in that Buffalo game because they had all these short fields with turnovers and stuff. You know, he had 19 for 57 in that game. I don't know if you can have it both ways. I mean, you could probably look back at all these guys, especially all these guys who got so close to Dickerson's record, and find a few games where, for whatever reason, you know, one circumstance or the other, you know, and some of it's probably more like their team was ahead. And so it's like, okay, have a seat. That was the case, you know, for Derek, you know, in some of these games too, probably that game, that Buffalo game. But I do think that as far as a defense robbing a guy, this has got to be up there. And it's hard not to look at it for a minute and say, man, just a couple of those go a little bit differently, and you add 50 here, you add 30 here, you're there.
Yeah, like I said, 78 yards away from the record, and the MVP conversation we're having in the last segment, like, if he ends up breaking the record and passes Eric Dickerson this season, I mean, I think there's a great chance at that point that he's at least second on the list. Like we talked about the odds in the last segment, it goes, you know, Rodgers to Josh Allen and then Mahomes and then it's Derrick Henry. Like I think you've got to, when you start talking about breaking all-time NFL records and records, especially like Eric Dickerson, that's just been so untouchable for so long. If he was able to do that this year, I think there's a great chance that he would be right there with Rodgers in the MVP conversation. So I guess it sucks as a Titans fan that you're getting robbed of that, because I think Derrick Henry with the type of season that he's had is certainly worthy of an MVP discussion. But I do wonder, like, you know, if he ends up at 2,200 yards or 2,250, you have to give the MVP to him at that point, right? You're talking about NFL history that, you know, doing something that nobody has ever done before.
You know, what's funny is that Dickerson didn't win the MVP that year.
I know, yeah.
Of course, that was Dan Marino. That was Dan Marino's second year. Ridiculous numbers, like stuff people hadn't seen before. They go to the Super Bowl. But yeah, it would have been, it would have made it very interesting. And it's a quarterback dominated, you know, again, the last running back to get it was AP in 2012. That was his 2000 yard season. And then you go back before that, LT, the first of his two, you know, rushing titles in 06, followed up Sean Alexander in 05. But, you know, it's here and there. You get a running back in there, Marshall Faulk in 2000, you know, Barry Sanders in 97 when he also had 2000. So a lot of times those 2000 yard seasons kind of, those are the difference makers for guys. I'm trying to think. I don't think Jamal, no, of course, like the year Jamal Lewis did it, it was McNair Manning shared it.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that would have gotten him the MVP, but I mean, this is the kind of year. Yeah, I mean, this could have been a 2,200-2,300 yard year for Derrick Henry, which is silly to say, but also it's like, I mean, you know, how could you argue that? I mean, certainly I'll say 2,200. He could have pushed 2,200 with just a few things breaking the other way.
Not only yards, but touchdowns too.
Yeah.
I mean, he finishes with 17 touchdowns. If he had 20, 22, 24 touchdowns, I think his case would have increased even more.
I think it's a good point. Yeah, I mean, 17 is a good number, but you end up in 20, you're in a different stratosphere when it comes to running back. And the craziest part is he's done this with an offensive line that has been in flux. I mean, you talked about it yesterday, Saffold missing the majority of that second half. Obviously, Taylor Lewan's been out the majority of the year. You've gone from Tyson Brilo to now Quesenberry on the left side, Aaron Brewer in there yesterday, and, oh, by the way, Jack Conklin, who was a great run blocker for you last year, not in the fold. He's in Cleveland this year. So it's been, you know, a different offensive line that he's been behind this year. At times, a makeshift offensive line, and he's still got the 2,000 yards. That, to me, out of everything he's accomplished this year, that may be the most impressive part of it to me, is that it hasn't really mattered who's been on the line. Henry's been able to be effective anyway.
No, it's a great point. And Saffold and Ben Jones and Dennis Kelly have been sitting out practice for weeks because of injuries, and they're all limping off at different times. Now, look, at this point, you go around the NFL and you find a whole bunch of banged up offensive lines and banged up teams in general. But still, I mean, this is incredible stuff. You know, this is the eighth guy ever to do this. And this is really not his offensive line. You know, this is not the offensive line the season started with. You lose a Pro Bowl left tackle. Like you said, you lose a former All-Pro right tackle who's in Cleveland right now, and they're doing big things running the ball. I mean, that's not a coincidence. You know, he's very good at that. That's what he is, and he's gone, and they've been able to be fine and take it to a completely different level. And Henry has. And obviously – if you're a running back, and he said it yesterday several times, he'll say it every chance he gets. I mean, you are very dependent on the offensive line. So you're also impressed with them that in a makeshift situation, they've been able to execute. But some of this is just him doing things that you just can't teach and you can't account for. And he just seems to have such a great feel for when to bounce something outside, when to just go in there and take 3-4 hard yards. And then making people miss in short spaces, which he did on that long touchdown run yesterday. It's incredible that not only does he go 200, you know, three straight games against the Texans, but he has a knack for getting that long TD every time out against them. It's just not easy to do.
And it was amazing. Like I had a two TV setup yesterday. I was watching the Packers Bears and the Titans Texans. And over on the Packers game, David Montgomery was, I mean, he had a good first quarter against the Packers. And Daryl Johnston on the call was talking about it. And he's like, you know, Packers did a great job against Derrick Henry last week because there's a way to defend him. But Montgomery is just running all through him right now. And I was like, is there a way to defend Derrick Henry? How's that working out for teams? He's got 2,000 yards on the season. Tell me about this magical way that there is to defend Derrick Henry.
Yeah, by scoring 40 points and blowing them off the field. Yeah,
I guess so.
I mean, so again, like 23 for 98. So what if you have 10 more carries on a tired defense in the fourth? Like it's the Packers defense that hasn't been great against the run. What is that then? 33 for what? 150?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's or maybe more. That's only 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's so. Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, look, anyone at the top of his game like this, people are going to find holes in their game and all that. And, you know, Derrick Henry's never going to be a great pass catcher, all that stuff. But you can't tell me that there's any easy way to deal with this guy.
The best way to defend him is on the first carry of the game.
Yeah.
You know, the over-under on FanDuel, 4.5 yards for Derrick Henry's first rush attempt, is almost a lock every single time to be under 4.5. And it hit again yesterday.
Yeah. The defense goes crazy. They're swinging those arms. They're all fired up. And then before you know it, he's running 52 on you down the field. It's just how it goes with Derrick Henry. It was a tough one yesterday for that Texas defense.
By the way, sorry. He got mad at me yesterday because I asked him about his durability. I don't know if he thought I was asking like if he's wimpy or something. But he's like, I don't know what kind of question that is. I'm like, no, I'm asking about your durability, man. It's like it's good.
It's a good thing, Derek. Yeah, don't get on his bad side. He may stiff arm you.
He said pissed twice, at least twice in his presser because he's still thinking about that fumble. He did fumble yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, he's not completely flawless. But, man, this
and that
was just
turned
about
the tables.
Yes, it did.
Even more so when he put that rock on the ground.
You go back to having to play a perfect game offensively. As soon as they dropped that ball, I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
But well, that was one of those, like, backward punches by Zach Cunningham that perfectly – I don't even know if it's kind of lucky, probably.
100% lucky.
Get out of there.
But great play by Cunningham, and it didn't end up biting the Titans. They win the game, but man, what a game yesterday from Derrick Henry. What a season from Derrick Henry. We'll continue to talk about him all show long and the just incredible accomplishment that has been the 2,000-yard season for Derrick Henry. When we come back, there's a narrative that's been out there with Ryan Tannehill that I want to completely shut down based on the way he played yesterday. We'll discuss what that is on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.